Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Samach Zayin. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. Also by Jonathan Lewis, Lezecha Nishmas, his father, Elliot Lewis, Eliyahu ben Mordechai, Alav HaShalom, whose yard site is today, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. And also by Karen and Mark E. Benson, commemorating the yard site of Mark's grandmother, Irene Kaplan, Shena Leah Bas Avram Tzvi, Allah Shalom, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding at the very end of Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis, the last couple of words, Amar Rav Huna, and we're in the middle of going through a variety of different refuos for different ailments that appear. And we're going to go through, we went through the ones that Abaye quoted in the name of Aim, in the name of his adoptive mother, and we're going to have many more that were not from Abaye, but from Stam, the Gemara telling us refuos for different ailments. Then right before the Mishnah, we're going to discuss whether the idea of walking out with bells, that's mutter for all Jewish people to do, is only aligned with Rabbi Shimon, who holds that Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim, or does that maybe work according to all Shitos? Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to discuss going out on Shabbos with different types of refuos segulios, of different types of refuos that only work bederech segula, and that's going to lead the Gemara into an extensive discussion of the parameters of the Isser of Darkei HaEmori. When do we say that trying a certain type of refua is a violation of Darkei HaEmori, and when do we assume that it's perfectly fine to try that type of refua? At the very end of the parak, today Be'ez Hashem will try to get to the end of the parak. At the very end of the parak, there will be a quick line about Bal Tashchis, and a quick line about the idea of saying L'chaim, or something along the lines of a L'chaim. So that will be the end of the parak. So let's begin again at the last few words of the page on Daf Samach Vav and Beis, Amar Rav Huna. So Rav Huna tells us a number of refuos. La'ashta tilta, for a fever that shows up every 3 days, that consistently a person gets a fever every 3 days. So Laisi Shiva Silvi Mishiva Dikli, he should bring 7 branches from 7 decal trees, Vishiva Tzivi Mishiva Kshuri, and he should bring 7 splinters of wood from 7 beams, and Vishiva Siki Mishiva Gashuri, and he should bring 7 pegs from 7 bridges, Vishiva Katimi Mishiva Tanuri, and he should bring 7 bunches of ash, or 7 measurements of ash from 7 different ovens, Vishiva Afri Mishiva Sanri, and he should bring 7 measures of dirt from 7 holes that are right next to the doorpost, Vishiva Kufri Mishiva Arbi, and he should bring 7 measures of pitch from 7 different boats, because they used to use pitch on the boats, they probably still do, in order to keep water from getting into the boats. Vishiva Buni Kamone, and 7 seeds of cumin, Vishiva Bini, Bindikna de Kalbasaba, and 7 hairs from the beard of an old dog, Vilitzairinu Bechalola de Beit Savara, and they should wrap it in underneath the person's throat, Benira Barka, in a strand of hair. So, and that way, that will be the refua for this fever that shows up every 3 days. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, La'ashta Tzimirta, if a person has a burning fever, Lishkol Sakina Dukuli Parzle, you should take a knife that's made entirely of iron, V'leza Lehecha Dika Vardina, and you should go to a place where there is a bush, V'likter Be Nira Barka, and you should tie on it a hair that's round like a nir. Yom kama lichrok beporta. The first day he should ruffle the bush a little bit. I think that's what it means. V'leiman, he should say the pasuk vayera malach Hashem elav, that the malach Hashem appeared to him. Meaning, go referring back to the pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Shemos when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first appears to Moshe Rabbeinu. L'machar, then the next day he should go back again lichrok beporta, again rattle the bush a little bit. V'leiman, he should say Vayomer Moshe Asura Nove Ere, that he should continue the following pasuk, that Moshe Rabbeinu sees the bush burning and he should say the pasuk of Asura Nove Ere. Mistami, you say the whole pasuk, right? You say Asura Nove Ere Samara Agodol Azeh Madua Lo Yivarasne, meaning in the first pasuk that we said also probably you should say the whole pasuk of Vayera Malach Hashem Elav Blabas Eish Mitoch Asne Vayar V'Yinei Asne Bor Beish Vasne Nenu Kol. So you say the whole pasuk, and the reason why we're saying the whole pasuk over here is because of that last phrase, "Madua lo yivar asneh," that it's a way of saying that that let the fire that's seizing me, let the fever that's affecting me not rule over me. L'macher, the next day, lichruk beporta. Again, he should rattle the bush a little bit. V'lema, and he should say the following pasuk: "Vayar Hashem kisar liros." And the pasuk continues: "Vayikrei lav elokim mitochas neva yomer Moshe, Moshe vayomer ineni." So the lashon of kisar is a lashon of not only turning, which is the context in the original pasuk, that Kodesh Baruch Hu saw the Moshe turn toward the bush, but it's turning away from or removing from. So sheyaser mimenu acholi, that's what he's davening for, that the illness should leave him. Now there is a Gemara in Masechus Shavuos and Daf Tes Vav Beis. Actually, just got an email this morning asking me that doesn't the Rambam say? But it's not just a Rambam; it's a Gemara that says that a person is not allowed to be misrape b'divrei Torah. So isn't this a violation of being misrape b'divrei Torah? Here, this person has a fever and he's literally using the words of the Torah in order to achieve his refuah. So Tosos over there, Masechus Shavuos, raises this question and he says that this machala that a person has of the burning fever is a real sakana, and during a time of sakana, when a person is mamish in danger, when his life is in danger, then he's allowed to be misrape b'divrei Torah. The Meiri suggests a little bit differently. He says it could be that the whole iser to be misrape b'divrei Torah is when the primary refuah is from the Torah itself. But over here, there are lots of things that he has to do that are aside from what's being mentioned in the pasuk. So when there's other elements to the refuah, and it's not only the divrei Torah, so that's why it's that would make it mutter. The Marsha says dafka these psukim are mentioned based on what the Rambam writes in Shmona Prakim. The Rambam writes in Shmona Prakim that refuas hanefesh are ke'ein refuas haguf, that the refuas hanefesh work in a similar way to refuas haguf. And the Gemara tells us in Maseches Kiddushin v'samtam es tevarei elesha, that the Torah is nimshal to a samachayim. V'samtam, it's a samtam. It's an appropriate and good and complete medicine. So a son whose father hits him, the Gemara says, and he puts a reti al makaso, he puts a bandage on the wound, and he says, kol zman that you have this bandage on the wound, you can eat whatever you want, and you don't have to worry, you don't have to be afraid. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael, the Gemara in Kiddushin says, b'ni, barasi yetzara, barasi lo Torah tavlin, I've created yetzara, but I've created a Torah, the Torah is the tavlin for the yetzara, the Torah is the refuah for the yetzara, so it's merape, the choli aguf, just like it's merape, the choli hanefesh. So based on that, the Marsha says over here that he sees the vision of the Eish of the Shechina and the Sneh is a remez to what was going on in Mitzrayim, and the Jewish people at that time were all choli nefashos. We were all totally absorbed in the toevos of Mitzrayim, and we didn't really deserve that the makos that were going to affect the Egyptians shouldn't affect us. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Madua lo yivar asneh? Why is it that Klal Yisrael shouldn't be affected? What's the zechus that's going to save them?" So that's why he says, "Vayar Hashem kisar liros." What zechus is going to be is going to save them from the machlos of Mitzrayim? So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "Vayomer Anochi Elokei Avicha." It's the zechus of the avos and the zechus of the Torah that they're mekabel. So that's going to be the ultimate refuah. That's the refuah saguf, and that is the refuah sanefesh as well. So what we're actually doing over here by mentioning these psukim, says the Marsha, is we're reminding us where refuah comes from. The refuah comes from our commitment to Torah and our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is just a clever way of bringing that to mind and of being ma'orer that kind of kavana. But that's what it's ultimately about. It's about reminding us of what these psukim represent. Why doesn't he say the pasuk of Yomer Al Tikra Falom? Meaning, you would think if you want to say a pasuk that's going to suggest that the illness should leave the person, so say Al Tikra Falom, which is the following pasuk. The pasuk continues, Shalna Alechem El Raglecha, Kimokam Asher Atah Omed Elav Ad Mas Kodesh, take off your shoes, you're standing on Ad Mas Kodesh. But Al Tikra Falom is a great phrase to say when you're trying to say, illness, go away, don't come anywhere near me. So wouldn't you want to incorporate that phrase into the refuah? Ella, so it says the Gemara, you're right. Rather, the way it should work is as follows. And Vayomer Moshe. Ulamachar on the second day, Lema Vayar Hashem Kisar Liros. Ulamachar on the third day, he says the fourth pasuk, Vayomer Al Tikra Valom, Vichi Pasuk Le Lisate Velifsike Velema Hachien. When the machla stops, so he should lower the snare close to the ground, he should cut it, Velifsike, he should cut it, Velema Hachien, he should say the following. asne asne lav mishum de gavias mikali lane asher kodesh baruch hu shechinte alach. The sne, it's not because you're the highest of all the trees that kodesh baruch hu chose you to have ashras hashchina on you. Elim mishum de meyachas mikali lane. It's because you're the lowest of all the trees asher kodesh baruch hu shechinte alach. Like all the midrashim tell us about Har Sinai, that Har Sinai also was chosen not because it was the most beautiful mountain, not because it was the tallest mountain, but because it was average, it didn't stand out. And that's Refuas HaGuf is like Refuas HaNefesh, like we mentioned before, and just like Refuas HaNefesh comes from being humbled, so too Refuas HaGuf also comes from being humbled, that a person should have a sense of humility. And just like the fire did not affect Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, ran away from them as they walked into the to the furnace, the fire didn't affect them. The fire was ran away from them. So too it should work for me, the son of Plonus. Again, Plonus is mother's name, because whenever you're davening for Rafua, as we mentioned the other day, you always go with mother's name. Vitaruk min kadmui, and it should run away from me. Lisimta, if a person has different types of boils on his body, le mahachi, baz bazye mas masye kas kasya sharli var malai, ilin malachi. These are the angels that came from Sodom. The Rashi says, not really. These are not the angels that were involved in Sodom. This is just a lachash that a person is supposed to say. For whatever reason, that's the incantation. And if a person has very painful boils, so he should say, my eyes are to you, meaning that you should stay looking like you do now. Don't get any more agitated. Don't get any redder. Don't get any more. The condition should not worsen. Atrichbach. Stay where you are. Don't broaden. Don't expand on the body. Zarech kekalut, and you should be like you should not be able to reproduce. Meaning the illness should again stay where it is. Okpredu de la parvelo ravian should be like a mule that is unable to reproduce. Kach lo tifra v'lo tibra begufe de ploni bar plonis. So too, these boils should not expand in the body of Ploni bar plonis. Again, his own name for the sake of refuah. Lekipa for different types of warts or other types of discolorations on his body. Le mahachi, you should say the following: cherev shlufa v'kela netusha lo shmei yochav cholin machovin. Again, there's some other type of lachash. Rashi points out it's a lachash bialma who doesn't really have any meaning, but for some reason it used to work. L'shida le mahachi, if he's attacked by a shade, if he's attacked by a demon, havis tepakik havis litza tabur mashumas, that the bartit, that the shade whose name is Bartit should be cursed and should be broken and desolate. Bartama, Bartina, other names of shades. Kishamgaz, Murigaz, Vastamai. Lashida the Beis Hakisei, if he's attacked by the shade of the Beis Hakisei, Le Mahachi, you should say the following. Akarkofi Da'ari, on the head of the male lion, Va'usi Duguryasa, and on the nostril of the female lioness, Ishkachtun Lashidai, I found this shade that's called Bar Shrika Panda. B'mishra Dekarti Chavte, and with a certain type of vegetable, I'm able to knock it off. Below the chamar chatarte, and with the jaw of a chamar, I was able to strike it. I was able to hit it. I was able to knock off this shade using the jaw of a donkey. All of these are different refuels that they used to have. The Rambam famously writes that there's no such thing as shade in Bizman Hazeh. So that's a question. It doesn't say Bizman Hazeh, that shadim don't exist. The problem is that we've had a lot over here in Shabbos. I think this is the first time shadim are coming up, but in brachos they were all over the place, right? We have a lot of shadim, so it's a major question on the Rambam. Why is that? How is it that he's allowed to go against all of these gemaras and shas? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a famous piece in Emes LeYaakov ala Torah, in the Emes LeYaakov ala Torah, where he points out that he suggests that in general, in the spiritual realm, there always has to be a certain balance. That in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to maintain a sense of Bechira Chafshis, there has to be powers of Kochos HaKedusha and Kochos HaTuma that counterbalance each other, so that a person will have a Bechira Chafshis and know that have a Yetzer Hara for the Kochos HaTuma and still choose the Kochos HaKedusha. But to the extent that the Kochos HaKedusha were minimized, over time, the Kochos HaTuma were equally minimized. So to the extent that we no longer have Nevuah or Ruach HaKodesh, Chodesh as commonly. We don't have a lot of the things that were the Kochas HaKadusha, so Mela we don't have the Kochas HaTumi either. So that's what Rabbi Yaakov says. That must be what the Rama means, that we don't have Shadim, that Shadim don't exist anymore. Not that they never existed, but that anymore they don't exist in a world that is bereft of very high levels of Kedusha, so we also don't have these high levels of Tumah. That's how he deals with the Shadim issue. And they say, I think Rav Aaron Soloveitchik says that many times, I don't know if every time, but many times that Chazal used the term Shadim, like Shadim of Beis Akisei, it was a reference to something that could be damaging, that could be harmful, that you cannot see. So he says, what we call bacteria, that there are things that are harmful that a person is unable to see, and it could be that it's a reference to such things. The world is suffering right now from something that's extremely harmful, but no one can see it. You can't see it doing its damage, but you see the damage that gets done from it. So that may be a reference to Shadim. That might be what Chazal referred to in some places when we refer to Shadim, certain types of diseases that we just cannot see how it's being passed. Ubnei Malachim Bezagin, and we then said in the Mishnah, going back to Halacha, that Bnei Malachim are allowed to go out with bells on their clothing, and really, everybody's allowed to go out with it, the Mishnah said. It's just Dibru Chacham Behoven. Normally, it's only Bnei Malachim who have such things on their clothing. So it says, Man Tana, who's the Tana that holds that everybody, even an Anisha B'Yisrael, even the poorest people that are allowed to go out like this? Some Rabosh, yeah, Rabbi Shimon, he. Tamar Kol Yisrael Bnei Malachim, him. It's Rabbi Shimon. Today is Rabbi Shimon is Lag Bomer, so there's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says in the Mishnah that we're going to have much later on in the Masechta, in a different context, that the Jewish people are all considered like Bnei Malachim. The context of that Mishnah is on Daf Kuf Tesam Beis, that anything that is clear that you're doing it for Refuah, that only a Chola would do, you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. A different issue, not an issue of carrying, an issue of doing Refuah on Shabbos, that there's an issue of Gzeri Mishum Shchika Sammanim, that a person might come to grind, it's a Gzeri Mishum Tochein. But something that even healthy people would do is not, and therefore it's not so clear that you're doing it mishum refuah, that's mutter. So a machal briyim, for example, you eat chicken soup when you have a terrible cold, so chicken soup has a therapeutic value of some sort, but you also eat chicken soup stam, because chicken soup is delicious. So that's not a violation of refuah, even though you happen to have a sore throat or you happen to have a cold, and you're eating the chicken soup or you're drinking the hot tea with honey, because these are things that normal people would do anyway. So there's a machlokas tan about shemen vered, about rose oil that is very expensive, that only Bnei Malachim would actually anoint themselves with this oil on a weekday, even if they were not injured. So the Tanakhama says, so only Bnei Malachim are allowed to do it on Shabbos, because they're the ones that would do it, even if they were not otherwise wounded or injured. But other people are not allowed to do it, because other people would never be so wasteful. It's too expensive for other people to use. Other people would only use it mishum refuah. But Rabbi Shimon says, no, every Jew is allowed to use it, because Kol Yisrael B'nai Malachim, we're all of a stature of B'nai Malachim. And therefore, the bells also are ra'ui for an ani as well, and it's not inappropriate for any Jew to be wearing such bells on his clothing, and therefore, we're not concerned that he's going to come to take it off of his clothing in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, because it's not considered something that he would have to take off to show off to everybody else, because everything, no matter how high the level of the item is, for a Jewish person, it fits his stature. Rava Amar Ba'arig B'Ksus of a Divrei Kol. Rava says, even if you assume not like Rabbi Shimon, if we're talking about a bell that's woven into his garment, then everyone's going to say that it's mutter, because there's no chashash that it's going to be removed and that he's going to carry it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah. It's woven entirely into his garment. Okay, so now we're going to continue to discuss going out with certain items on Shabbos, but specifically we're going to talk about refuos. We're going to talk about those types of things, those types of items that provide some sort of refuah. So yotzin bebeitzas hachargol, you can go out with the egg of an insect, b'shein shel shuol, and with a fox's tooth, or b'mismer min atzalav, and with a nail from the gallows where you would hang somebody, mishum refuah, and all of that you're allowed to do mishum refuah divrei meir. V'cham mos naf b'chol mishum darkei amari. The chum say, forget about it, Shabbos. You're not allowed to do this on a weekday. It's a violation of darkei amari. The Radvaz in the tshuva in chelkei simkufnun gimel was asked by the Shoel, why are you allowed to go out to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim with the Beit HaSachargol and the Shein Shel Shul and the Mismar Shel Tzalov, Mishum Refuah, all of these things, the Refuah is not natural. It's Bederuch Skula. It's not a Refuah Al Piteva. So how are you allowed to go out with Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Even a Cholev Shein Bo Sakana, the Gemara is going to say they would go out with these Refuahs with these Machlos Shein Bo Sakana. It should be Aser. So the Radvaz says that over here we're talking about where you take it out, Shalok Kederach HaMotziim. You're not carrying it in the normal way, and therefore, since you're carrying it kalachariyat, it's only nisim midrabanan. So we allow it mishum refuah that even for refuah that's only bederach skula, and even for a cholashen bo sakana. And they didn't make a gezerah that it might fall, and you can come to carry it for amos and rishus rabim because b'makom choli they didn't maintain such gezeros. So even though strictly speaking, since it's not a refuah bederach hateva, one would imagine that it's a violation of carrying, but it's not really carrying because you're only carrying in a way that's also midrabanan. So the Rabbanan didn't make any of the gzeros, neither the gzera of carrying kalachar yad, nor the gzera that it might fall and you're going to come to carry it the normal way. They didn't make such gzeros b'makom choli, even a choli she'en bal sakana. Then the Radva suggests that since you put it on for refuah, it's considered like a tachshit, and it's not hotza'a at all. So therefore, even though it's merape, only bedarch segula, it's still, and even though it's only choli she'en bal sakana, but you put it on for refuah, that gives it the status of a tachshit, and mela, you're allowed to go out with it on. It might fall off and you'll carry it for amos. No, it's for refuah, so you need it. So you're not going to want to take it off and carry it for amos. But yet, the Chacham said that all this is asr, even on a weekday, because these are all a violation of Darkei Amori, and that's asr in the Torah. Rashi says, why is it asr in the Torah to do Darkei Amori? Pasuk says, b'chukoseyem lo selechu. And then Rashi says, and also nichushu. This is a violation of nichush, of superstition. The Rashash raises the question that if he's talking about the actual Isra of Nichush, so then Rashi should have quoted the Pasuk in the Torah of Lo Sinechashu, that a person should not be superstitious. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and elsewhere tells us what Nichush actually is. Nichush, there are examples of Nichush where a person believes that there's a lucky day, there's a lucky number, that if a cat walks in front of him, all of these things that he attaches meaning to that don't actually have any meaning, that would be a violation of Nichush. Rav Shechter often points out that the Jewish religion is pretty much the only religion that absolutely prohibits superstition, and the Jewish people are the most superstitious people sometimes. It's really not right. We have a Yetzer Hara to be very superstitious and to attribute meaning to things that don't really have any meaning, that it's not appropriate. It's not just not appropriate, it's Aser. It's an Isser of Nichush. Says the Gemara, Yotin Beit HaSachargol Da Avdi L'Shichala. What does a Beit HaSachargol do? What does this insect egg do? They use it for some sort of earache, and they hang it around the ear. B'Shein Shel Shul Da Avdi L'Shinta. What were the fox's tooth do? They do it for some sort of a problem with sleeping. The chaya leman denayim, if they're using a tooth of a live fox, which couldn't have been fun to get, so then it's for it helps for a person who's sleeping too much and needs to be awake more often. The misa, if they got it from a dead fox, leman delonayim, then it's a refuah for someone who's unable to sleep. B'mismar minatzalov, and what do they do with the nail from the gallows? Davdi lazir. They do that for someone who has a swelling from a wound, from like a blunt force kind of wound, and they put that on it and it will help with the swelling. Mishum refua divra meir. So we said in the Mishnah that according to a meir, you're allowed to go out with all these things because it's a refua, and the Chabad said, no way, it's darkei amori. So Abai Rav Darmi Tarvai called over sheish for mishum refua, ain for mishum darkei amori. Abai Rav explained that this any time you have a refua that's a clearly recognizable refua, you drink some sort of medication, and that medication then cures a person, that is not a violation of Darkei Amori. The Rashba and the Ran raised the question that Rabbi Meir was matir in our Mishnah, a Shein Shel Shu'al, a Mismar Atzalov. That is not a Refuah Hanikeres at all. I mean, Rashi says, Kol Sheish B'Mishum Refuah, Zein B'Mishum Darkei Amori, means if the Refuah is Nikeres, if it's clearly recognizable that this medicine helps for this item. But that's not the items that we mentioned in the Mishnah are not a refuah and nikeres at all, and that's why the Rashba and the Ran say kolav sheish from refuah means that it's a refuah beduka, that it's been tried. We don't have to realize or recognize why this would work. I can understand why a hot tea or a hot chicken soup is going to help my throat. It's warm, it's liquidy, it's soothing to my throat. You don't have to understand why these things work. We just have to know that they work, says the Rashba and the Ran. It's that it just has to be something that's been tested, and we see that it works. So, but those things that are tested and don't work, that's asr mishum darkei amori. If the numbers tell us, statistics tell us that it's not statistically different than not doing that refuah, so then it's darkei amori to use such a refuah. And the raya they bring is from a Tosefta, Shaloch Shemal Me'ayim, that they do some sort of lachash, and ala nachash, and ala akrav, you know, when there's a snake bite or a scorpion bite, and for some reason that's not a violation of Darkei Amori. Now Rashi Maseches Chulin says a little bit differently. Rashi Maseches Chulin says, Kol Dav Sheyesh Bo Refuah means a mashka or a sam or a lachash shaloch yesh ala maka, that even a incantation that they say. So he holds that anything that comes for the sake of refuah is mutter, and anything that's not refuah means that you're not doing it for the purpose of refuah, meaning like burying a nefel, the precious drachim, where it's not for the sake of refuah, it's just something that goyim do that doesn't really have any rhyme or reason to it. That's how where Rashi writes in Maseches Chulin, entirely different. Over here, Rashi says, Kol Dav Sheyesh Bo Mishum Refuah means it's clear, it's two extremes. He's saying, if it's recognizably works as a refuah, the Rashba and the Ran say, no, not that far, it just has to be proven to work as a refuah, and Rashi and Chulin seems to say, as long as you're doing it for the purpose of refuah, whether you know who works or not, that it's going to be, it's not going to be a violation of Darkei Amori. So ask the Gemara, Ha'in bo mishum refuah, yesh bo mishum Darkei Amori? So do you mean to tell me that anything that is not going to provide a refuah is a violation of Darkei Amori? V'atayni ilan shemeshu peirosav sokro b'sikro v'toa no ba'avanim. If you have a tree that keeps losing its fruit, so you can paint a red stripe around it and put heavy rocks at the base of the tree, and that's going to cure the tree. So bishlam, I understand why you put rocks on it. That should affect the strength of the tree in such a way that hopefully the tree will not expel its fruits. But if you're just painting red around it, how does that help anything? That's not a refuah that's nicker at all. So why isn't that also mishum darkei amori? Now the point is that you're trying to draw attention to the tree, and when you draw attention to the tree, people will see that this tree has a problem, and then they're going to daven that things should be okay with it. Kedetanya, like the Brisa tells us, as far as a mitzora is concerned, v'tame tame yikra, tzorech lo diat tzara l'rabim, that a person who's declared tame as a mitzora has to declare his tuma for the world to hear. Why? So that people will daven for him. So you try to draw attention to be mevakish rachamim. Why does he need rabim to be mevakish rachamim? Why can't he be daven for rachamim for himself? So Rabbeinu Prachya says that based on the Gemara and Brachos and Dafayim and Beis, Ein Chavash Matir Atzmo Mi Beis HaAsurin, that sometimes, you know, a person is able to daven for someone else, but he doesn't have the capacity to save himself from the suffering. So here also, you look for other people, the Mitzvah looks for other people to be Mevakesh Rachamim. From the Iyun Yaakov says a little differently, that Dafka Mitzvah needs other people to daven for him, because his tefillah is not going to be Mekubal, because he spoke Lashon Hara about other people. So until he can demonstrate that other people are okay with him, and that other people are so okay with him that they're going to daven for him, only then is he going to be able to have his refuah. Amar Avina, Kaman Talinu Kufsi B'dikla, who do we follow when we hang a cluster of dates on a dekel tree as a simon that people need to daven for this tree? Ki Aitana, we're assuming like the Tana of this Braisa, that the Chola needs to let its tsar be known to the Rabbim so that the Rabbim could be Mevakesh Rachamim for him. Tani Tana, Beperek Amorai, that one of the Chacham taught one of the Prakim in Hilchos Darkei Amori, Kamed Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin, in front of Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin. So Amr Lei, so Rabbi Chiya Bar Avin said to this fellow who was teaching over these Brises, these Toseftas, Kulu Ispu Mishum Darkei Amori, all the Halachas I mentioned in there, don't make the mistake to have a Girsa of Ein Bo Mishum Darkei Amori. The correct Girsa should be Yesh Bo Mishum Darkei Amori, Levar Mehani, except for two halachos that you're teaching, that they alone are the only two that are not a violation of Darkei Amori. The first one is Mishia Shlo Etzem Begrono, that if a person has a bone stuck in his throat, maybe Meosa Amin, he should bring another bone from that same type of animal, Umaniach Leal Kotkado, and he should put it on his head, Vele Mahachi, and then you should say, Chad Chad Nachas Bala Bala Nachas Chad Chad, Ein Bo Mishum Darkei Amori. That is not a violation of Darkei Amori. Unclear to me why not, but that is Refuah Beduka. That works. That's not a violation of Darkei Amori. In fact, we referred to the other day, Rabbi Kiva Eger in Yaradeya, quotes from the Ma'aril that you're allowed to even try this refuah, even though all the other refuahs of Chazal you're not allowed to try, because you're not going to know how to do them properly, and because we don't do them properly, so people are going to be people are going to mock and make fun of the Divrei Chachamim, because we're trying all the refuahs and refuahs don't work. But when it comes to this refuah, this is the good one, this is the one that's going to work. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger and Acharon even quotes it in his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, that this is something that a person is allowed to do. And then the second one, the second halacha that's in that Tosefta of Darkei Amori, that's Ein Bo Mishum Darkei Amori, is La Adra. If a person has a fishbone stuck in his throat, Le Mahachi, you should say the following: Ninsata Kemachat Ninalta Ketris Shaya Shaya. That it's stuck like a needle, and it's locked like a shutter, so it should go down shaya. And Ha'omer Gad Gediv is if someone says, there's another thing that was the end of that. Now the Gemara brings other things that are mentioned in these Toseftas that are actually Asur Mishum Darkei Amori. Ha'omer Gad Gadi Usnuk Lo Ashki Ubushki Yeshva Mishum Darkei Amori. Whatever the incantation is, that you say that that my muzzle shouldn't be tired, it should by day and night my muzzle should be awake, that saying such a thing is a violation of Darkei Amori. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, God Einu El Lashon Avod Zara. Now, to say the word God is not Darkei Amori, that's Lashon Avod Zara. Shnemar Orchum LeGad Shulchan. So when you say that, it's worse than Darkei Amori. That's, in fact, a violation of Avod Zara. The Pasuk tells us in Chumash, V'shem Elohim Acherim Lo Saskiru Lo Yishama Alpicha. You're not allowed to mention the names of Elohim Acherim. That's what the Gemara Sanhedrin of Samach Gimel and Beis tells us, that you're not even allowed to mention the name of Avod Zara in any sort of context, even meet me bitzad avodah zarah plonis. You're not allowed to tell the person to meet you next to an avodah zarah, even just use it as a landmark of where to meet a person. That's why I once asked Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. Someone sent me an email. They asked if they had to go to a funeral, and the cemetery was a tiny little cemetery. It didn't have a street address to the cemetery, but it was right across the street from a church. So they were told, just put the church into the GPS, and then put the name of the church into the GPS, will recognize it, and then you'll be right there, you'll be at the cemetery. So is that a violation of this Gemara, that meet me b'tzad avodah zarah plonis, that you're saying that you should come meet me next to an avodah zarah? It happened to have been just like a couple of months later, after I sent that shaila to Rav Zilberstein, there was a feature in Ami magazine about Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, and they asked him, have you gotten any like 21st century shailas recently, anything that's like really unique to the modern world? He says, yes, Rabbi Leibowitz from North Woodmere just sent me a shaila about the, so that was my moment of fame, that Rav Zilberstein quoted the shaila that I asked him. So you're not allowed to mention the names of Avodah Zarah. That's why you're not allowed to mention, even the Gemara says, cities that are named after Avodah Zarah, which is a real problem, because a lot of cities in the world today are named after Avodah Zarah. So have to come up with what the different heterim are. There are heterim if the city is no longer used for Avodah Zarah. If the someone asked, what did he paskin? Honestly, I don't remember what he paskin. I think he did. He actually was a Sfira Sa'omer connection, because he did a whole thing about Rabbi Akiva Eiger, whether Ksiva's Kedibur, Ksiva's Lav Kedibur. Because the Yishama Al Picha, you're not allowed to say the Shema of Avodah Zarah, but you're just typing it into the. They didn't have voice recognition. This was many years ago. Most GPS didn't work with voice recognition, so you would just type it in. So he had a whole thing with Rabbi Akiva Eiger. If you write the name of the day of Sfira, whether Ksiva's Kedibur Dami or Ksiva's Lav Kedibur Dami. So he suggests. But I think he then pointed out that when it comes to Shem Elohim Acherim Lo Saskiru, that Ksiva is even worse. I mean, Ksiva Kedibur Dami, maybe in other areas of Halacha does it count as a Dibur, but the whole point of a Shem Avodah Zarah not mentioning is that you shouldn't bring out the name in this world. When you write down the name, then the name sticks. You know, when you say it, it's here for a second, and then it just disappears. When you write it down, it's much more, it really sticks. Okay, Hu Bishma Vihi Bishmo. If a man and a woman change exchange their names with each other. They exchange names at night in order to ward off the shadim that attack men and women respectively. Yesh b'mishum darkei mori. That's also a violation of darkei mori. Doni dani yesh b'mishum darkei mori. To say my barrels should be stronger is a violation of darkei mori. Rabbi Yehuda Amar ein dan eloshen avodazara shenemar nishban ba'ashma shomron v'amruchei elukim elohecha dan. That it's a loshen of avodazara. It's used in that context, and therefore it's worse than darkei mori. Ha'omer la'orev. A person says to a raven, tsarach. When it calls out, he says croak la'oravta, and to a female orev, when it's calling out sriki, you should shriek v'achzir li'znavech l'tova, and turn your tail for the good. Yesh v'mishum darkei amori. All of that is a violation of darkei amori. Meaning, I think what it means is that the raven is making its noise. At that point, you shouldn't say to it, "Oh, keep preaching. You know, say all the good things about me," as if there's meaning to what the raven is saying. Homer shachtu tarnugol zeh shakara aravis. If someone says tarnugol that they call an orev that cries out like an orev, the tarnugolas shakara gavris, or this tarnugolas, because it's like a male tarnugol, yesh v'mishum darkei amori. That too is a violation of darkei amori. In Rabbi Yehuda Chassid in Tzavah, it says that you should shech the tarnugolas that's called the zachar, because and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, probably the girsa was ein bo mishum darkei amori. Even though Rabbi Yehuda Chassid had the Maril writes this. Maril in Chuvas and Siman Kuf Yud Aleph says that according to Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, who says that dafka you should do this, he must have had a different girsa, that it's ein bo mishum darkei amori. Of course, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid has a lot of things that are against the Gemara, but most of those things are in his tzava'a of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. This also is in the tzava'a of Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. But that's how the Maril says that over here must be that he had a different girsa. The other things that are against the Gemara is you have to come up with other answers for. Eshtova osir, eshtova osir. If a person says, "Let me drink and let there be extra," yesh b'mishum darkei amori. That's also darkei amori. Hamavakas beitzim bekosel b'fnei afrochim, yesh b'mishum darkei amori. If a person crushes eggs against the wall in front of the afrochim, in front of the chicks, that's a violation of darkei amori. Hamegis b'fnei afrochim. If a person mixes the white of the egg in a plate in front of the afrochim, that's also yesh b'mishum darkei amori. Hamrakedes v'atonas shivim. If a person is counts 71 in front of the afrochin in order that they shouldn't die, yesh b'mishum darkei amori. That's also some superstition. Hamrakedas l'kutach. If a person is mrakedas for the in front of kutach. When he's making the kutach as he does some sort of dance in order that that the kutach should become stronger. And if a person quiets down anything that's around adashim in order that it should cook more quickly, or someone who makes extra noises when beans are cooking in order to make the beans cook more quickly, all of that is a violation of darkei amori. The atmosphere within which they're cooking, whether it's loud or quiet, or you're dancing or gesticulating in front of the cooking pot, is all darkei amori. Hamashtanis b'fnei kedei rasa, if a woman urinates in front of her kedera b'shvil shetespashal mehera, so that it will cook more quickly, yesh b'mishum darkei amori. That's a violation of darkei amori. It's also disgusting. Av nosin kesim shaltut, if a person takes a splinter of a strawberry bush, shivrei zuchuchis, and broken shards of glass b'kedera, and he puts that in the pot b'shvil shetespashal mehera, so that it should cook more quickly, so that you're allowed to do. But Chum Molson b'shivrei zchuchus mnei sakana. But the Chum say no, you're not allowed to use broken glass because that could be dangerous if you don't get all the glass out of your food before you eat it. Tan Rabbanan nosin bul shel melech l'toch haner. You could take a fistful of salt and put it into a candle b'shil shetar v'tadle, because that will actually, but naturally that helps the light the light shine better. Nosin tit charsis tachas haner. You could put some plaster and some mud and some pottery under the ner b'shvil shetamtim v'tadlik, so that it will last longer and the oil won't run out so quickly, because these items cool off the oil and therefore it doesn't burn as quickly. So Amar Rav Zutra, we do say that kol helps with the ketores, but kol helps for the ketores, but apparently only for the ketores, not for these cooking items. items. Amar Rav Zutra, Haiman de Mechasi Shagra de Mishcha. If a person covers a ner with shemen and he's hoping that it will therefore extend the life of that candle, umegali nafta, or he takes off the kisui from a ner of neft oil, and he's hoping that it will burn longer. Ka'avar mishum baltashlis. So it's a violation, meaning it would have burnt longer, but now he's making it burn more quickly, rather. So that's a violation of baltashlis, because he's causing the shemen or the neft to burn more quickly, and it's a violation of baltashlis, because why would you need it to burn more quickly? Just let it be, and that way it will last a longer time, and you'll have more oil. If a person, after he pours a cup of wine, he declares that let it be wine and life for the Rabbanan, that's not a violation of Darkei Amori. Rabbi Akiva made a party, a wedding for his son. I guess that's a dafyomi coincidence. Most people start making weddings again now on Lag BaOmer, although now it's a little complicated. And by each kos that he brought to the wedding, he said, "Chamra v'chayi l'fum rabbanon, l'chayim to all the rabbanon, chayi v'chamri l'fum rabbanon l'fum talmideon, and life and wine to the rabbanon and to the talmidim." So that's all appropriate and permissible to do. This is the basis of saying l'chaim. The Maral writes in Chidushei Agados that the reason we say l'chaim dafka before drinking wine is because a kos in general very often is a simen klala. That refers to not good things happening, and it happens all over Tanakh. So dafka by the kos, especially when it comes to a kos of yayin, which could have such negative powers, that's what the Shlach Kadosh explains, that dafka when it comes to it's l'fum rabbanon, it's only by the rabbanon, because for most other people when they're drinking it's a destructive force. It's only for Tamidei Chachamim and people who the wine is going to put them in a state of simcha that's going to cause them to say more Divrei Torah and perform more mitzvos and be more connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then we say l'chayim. Then we say chamra v'chayim l'fum rabbanan. Hadron lach b'mei isha b'ezrashem. Tomorrow we will begin the 7th parak of Masechta Shabbos, parak Klal Gadol. Everyone have a great day.